Exodus chapter number 15. We're going to start at verse number 22. Exodus chapter 15, verse number 22. And we'll start here. So the Bible says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water." If you would go to the previous 20 verses, they're singing the song after they had just crossed the Red Sea. So they had just come off of a great, you know, I mean, if you watch the life of Israel, I mean, it's very much a, you know, they got their mountaintops and the valleys. And quite honestly, folks, that's the way our life is. You know, you come off of, you've got your good moments, and, you know, before long, it's the bad moment, and then it's the good moment. And so, and as a side note, don't despair when you're in the valley. You know, I mean, because you'll come out of it, okay? So there is that. But they had just come off of the Red Sea, watching Pharaoh and all of his hosts get demolished and drowned in the Red Sea. And then so verse 1 through 21 is basically a song of praise, and they're honoring God and worshiping God. And then Moses brings them out. And, you know, I think they kind of ride on that high for, you know, 3 days. And then, you know, the whole reality of life sets back in, you know. And, you know, we just had a great day at church last Sunday, and God blessed us. But, you know, I mean, and I think that kind of carries you for a while. But the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of us just had to go back to work on Monday. Welcome back to life. You know, I mean, you can't live, you know, I wish you could live on the mountaintop, but the truth of the matter is you can't. I mean, that's the way life is. You know, like it or not, that's the way life is. Now, I think your mentality makes a difference too. But so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, I want to ask you, I mean, according to the Bible, what led the children of Israel, right? It was a pillar of fire by night and the pillar of the cloud by day. And so that is what led, that's what guided Israel. So at this point, it's not like they've just, okay, well, we're just going to go do what we want to. All right, Moses is leading them, and I think Moses is still following this pillar of cloud. So if you would, Moses and the children of Israel are still in the will of God right here. They're still where they're supposed to be. Okay, you know, the ten spies in Canaan hasn't happened yet. They haven't left the will of God. They're still where they're supposed to be, but the Bible says they found no water. Okay, so verse number 23, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah." I don't know what the name of this place was before. I don't know if that's what it was before, or if they named it that. I don't, it could be either way, all right? Verse 24, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and he proved them. And he said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.' And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water." So, you know, okay, they came off of a high, the Red Sea. They went into this place called Marah. That was a low time. And then they come back, you know, there again, you come back up. They're in Elim, 12 wells of water, plenty of water for everybody. And God bless them there. So that's the beginning of it. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the lesson this morning. Father, thank you for this time, God. I thank you for the opportunity that you give us to come to your house once again. I pray that you just bless the services today. Lord, I thank you for all the excitement of the young people as I got on the buses this morning. I pray that you just bless each and every one of them. God, I thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. And Lord, I think about that this week. And Lord, I thank you for forgiving me. And just, Lord, help me to be forgiving of others. And Father, I thank you for our church here. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for this class. And Lord, just a lot of the folks sitting in here have built this and through you, Lord, but they've sacrificed and they've given. And Lord, I pray that you just bless them and help this be encouragement to them this morning. And Lord, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, Amen. We're going to talk about this this morning, and I've been thinking some about it, and maybe it's something I've kind of struggled with a little bit. And so we're going to look at it a little bit in the Bible this morning, kind of chase it through just a little. But this thought of bitterness. And we see here in the life of the children of Israel that they came to this place where there was water, but the water was bitter. Now, I think as Americans, we've definitely gotten to where we, Americans like sugar. That's probably, honestly, one of the reasons we're not as healthy as what we ought to be is because of our intake of sugar. Now, I'm not a medical profession person, all right, but just, okay, some of that just kind of makes sense, all right? But our bodies crave that sweetness, right? We don't like, when I was growing up, mom made me take Robitussin, okay? I don't know. I mean, that is like, I don't know. You drink something or you have something, and maybe it's just me, but you get that shiver. It's like, ugh, okay? And like Robitussin does that for me. And I don't know what it is with Americans, but... and this is the way I am anyway, okay? When I got married, I had never drank coffee in my life, okay? Now, how many like black coffee? You like it like black, okay? I'm sorry. That's weird, all right? We're talking about something bitter, okay? And to me, all right, black coffee is bitter, okay? And the first time I had it, somebody's being nice. They're like, oh, do you drink coffee? And I said, yes. But the truth of the matter is most of my coffee is actually creamer with some coffee mixed in with it. Okay. I was looking at going back to that whole health thing. You know, I'm trying to be healthy. And it's not working, by the way. But I am trying. So I go back to the whole healthy thing, Brother Chuck. And, you know, I look at the serving size and the bottle of our creamer that we have. And it says 1 tablespoon. 1 tablespoon. And so, for curiosity, one day, I just did this like 2 weeks ago, I poured out a tablespoon of coffee, or a creamer, right? Now, I'm using a bigger mug, so you got to give me a little bit of grace here, okay? I'm using, I think they rate it for like a 6-ounce mug. But it's like 30% of my daily value of sugar in 1 tablespoon. Of creamer, okay? So I pour it into the tablespoon, I get a tablespoon, and I pour it into my coffee, and I stir it, and I'm like, no, we're not doing this. Because I judge my coffee based on the color, okay? I mean, it's got to have the right color, and if it's got the right color, then it's edible at that point, okay, or drinkable. So I put 1 tablespoon, so I'm seeing, all right, how many tablespoons do I got to have? 2 tablespoons, no, 3 tablespoons, 4 tablespoons. I was between 5 and 6 before it got to the right color, okay? 30% of my daily value. So in 1 cup of coffee, I'm drinking like what? 160% of my daily value in sugar. And I drink, depends on the day, but I'll drink 2 cups of coffee. So 220% of my daily value. And you're looking at me like, oh, I can't believe it. Don't give me that. I mean, drink a can of pop. Okay, that's like 120 in one can. Okay, and it's not even legitimately sugar. All right. So I'm like, okay, what? But I'm saying, Super Chat, why are you saying all this? Because I don't like black coffee. And I've had people be like, you want a cup of coffee? I'm like, okay, yeah. And so they give me a cup of coffee, and then it's like, I don't want to be rude, but do you got any creamer? Do you got any creamer for this? You got any sugar at least, because I drink a little bit of the black stuff, and I'm like, it's like a Robitussin feeling. Ugh, okay, all right. And so we all know what that bitter taste is, okay? During garden season, we eat a ton of cucumbers, okay? And everyone's had, you're eating cucumbers and however the way you like them, and then you get that cucumber, right? That for whatever reason, it's older, it's stayed on the vine too long, and they get bitter, right? And so you enjoy the cucumbers until you get that one bitter one. And so we all understand what bitterness is. But I think that bitterness is also something that it's not just, and the Bible talks about it, and we're going to look at this morning. The Bible talks about it being a matter of the heart. And we're not talking about taste. We're not talking about any of that. But that feeling, that none of us like that bitter thing, okay? And so that feeling that we get sometimes about it being bitter. So we're going to use our Bible some this morning, and I want to chase it through the Bible a little bit. I want to show you a few places, and then I want to do some very practical, maybe just teaching some things that I, just through meditation and maybe thinking through that thought of bitterness, where does bitterness come from? And we're gonna look at that. So Jeremiah chapter number 4, if you can find it quickly, that's fine. I can read it to you. Jeremiah chapter number 4, verse number 18. The Bible says, "Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee." It's talking about this is thy wickedness, "because it is bitter." And here's the statement I want to look at: "because it reacheth unto the heart." All right? Now, I believe that bitterness is a matter of the heart. And I think, honestly, bitterness is something that, I'm not saying that young people don't struggle with it, okay? But I think it's something that I perceive as adults probably struggling with. And honestly, and I'll say it this way, I think adults struggle with it, but I think the older you get, the more evident it becomes. Okay, because if bitterness is a matter of the heart, I can't see your heart, you can't see my heart, but what happens is it flourishes, maybe. It becomes more evident as we get older that there is a bitterness there is a matter in the heart. Okay, so in Jeremiah we see that it is a matter of the heart. Let's go to Job. Flip back to Job chapter number 7. And if you would think of anybody in the Bible that really had a right, if we have a right, to be bitter, it would probably be Job, okay? Of all the bad stuff, because, and I'm going to look at this, I think bitterness, and it's probably going to be something I'm going to repeat. I want you to think about this. I think most of the time the root of bitterness, or let me rephrase this, the seed of bitterness, I think many times is a legitimate problem. It's a legitimate concern. That seed, okay? It's something that is a very legitimate thing. Okay, look at the children of Israel and where we were just at. Running out of water is a legitimate concern, right? Okay, I mean, that's a problem when you've got a million plus people and you don't have water. All right, that's a legitimate concern. And I think, you know, in Job's life, there was a legitimate thing that could have started, that seed that could have been. I think if most people, and I think that's one reason that bitterness is so hard to get rid of, because when you really come back, you know, everyone's got their reason why they're bitter, okay? Their reason why they're upset. And if you're honest about it, I think it really comes back to a legitimate problem, but the thing is that problem never was dealt with properly. Amen. Okay? And it could be, and I'm going to show you this, but Job chapter number 7, if you would look at verse number 11, please. The Bible says, "Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." So in Jeremiah we saw it was part of your heart. Here we see it's part of his soul. Look at chapter number 10, verse number 1. The Bible says, "My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my" what? Soul. He didn't say, "I'm going to speak this outwardly." He's going to speak it inwardly. Okay? And this is one of the problems with bitterness. I think honestly, quiet people, I was thinking about this. I think if your nature is quiet, you're kind of that non-confrontational person, and that's kind of me, okay? If I have a problem, I just kind of keep it inside, and you deal with it. Okay? Now, there's some people out there that they have a problem, you're going to know about it, right? Okay? But honestly, I'm looking across, most of us are not that way. If we've got a problem or if there's an issue arises, we just kind of like, okay, I'll deal with it. I can manage. But the problem is with that is if we're not careful, that's a seed of bitterness. Whatever that legitimate problem was, it's a seed of bitterness. Maybe it was you were mistreated at some point by somebody, okay? Well, instead of going to that person and saying, hey, let's get this right. Instead of doing that, we kind of just say, all right, I'm going to deal with it, okay? Now, was it a legitimate thing? I think most of the time it was. But it's a seed that if we don't address it, it starts to grow. Okay? And I'll show you that. I'll show you that here in a moment. But in Job, he was talking about the bitterness in his soul. If you go, you think about what Pastor teaches us about, you know, your body, soul, and your spirit. And your soul is in three different parts. You're right, your mind, your will. Your mind, your heart, and your will. Okay, so when it's talking about your soul, that bitterness that's in your soul, it affects your mind, and then it affects your heart, and then it affects your decision-making processes, right? Your will. Okay, so if you've got bitterness in your soul, like Job is saying here, many times that's not verbalized. Many times it's just kept down here, and it's just growing. Okay? So we see that in the life of Job, where Job's talking about this bitterness in his soul. Job chapter 21, look at this verse. Job chapter 21, look at verse 25. The Bible says, "And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure." I've gone to, I think we did two or three nursing home services before. Now I just take the teens on Wednesdays. We go to Miller's. It's not Miller's. Stillwater's or Waters. The Waters. There's a bunch of them. They're all water. I don't know what the deal is with water and old people. All right. But, you know, it's like now we got Serenity Spring up here. It's like, I don't know. We got Stillwater's, Serenity Spring. I don't know. Anyway, that was another musings this week. All right. But we take the kids over there, and you'll talk to an older person. Okay, and it's interesting when you talk to an older person, and this is true in almost any nursing home, any place you go, you'll find some that are as happy as can be, and you'll find some that are very hateful and very upset and very bitter. Okay, you say, where did that come from? Like I said, it was probably a legitimate concern at some point, okay? But if we're not careful, we keep that here in our soul, you know, your mind, your heart, you think about it, okay? You think about it, and if you're not careful, that bitterness in your heart, it causes you to, that's all you start thinking about. And then you start feeling about it. And then if you're not careful, and this is usually where it comes out later in life, it finally shows itself. And then it's hard to get rid of. Okay? And so we see that bitterness. Bitterness is in our soul. All right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Look at verse number 14. Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." So Hebrews here talking about this bitterness that's springing up, okay, as a root, all right? This morning I went out, and I like illustrations, so this morning I went out and I got this, all right? Now, it's already wilting, okay? But I think most of you would probably recognize what this is, right? It's a dandelion, okay? Very prolific in our, especially in the spring, first, you know, when that, after you cut the grass the first time, it's amazing how many dandelions, right, that show up. And so the dandelion, I don't know of a single weed that I've, you know, and I've pulled a lot of weeds in my life, okay? But what happens when you try to pull a dandelion typically, right? It just breaks off. And for whatever reason, the dandelion has a tenacious root, okay? And when the Bible was talking about, well, I got thinking about this root of bitterness. I got thinking about, you know, what's the one thing, and I couldn't, you know, obviously probably an oak tree would be my number one pick, but dandelion was easier to dig up this morning. So you're stuck with a dandelion, all right? What is, you know, you think of that tenacious root that goes down, and you know what? It disturbs everything around it, if you think about it, okay? It does. It disturbs it. It, you know, if you've got weeds in your garden, those weeds are pulling nutrients from the plants that you want to have there, okay? It's a root, and it's a weed. But where did that start with? You know, where did the root start? You know, it started from one of the little puffball floaty things that floated around someplace, and that little bitty seed started a root, and these are tough to kill, right? I mean, they're hard to kill. And every year you'll go out and you'll see a root that is sitting there, or a dandelion that's sitting there that's growing up, and it's latched in. I put in a paver patio behind our house, and it's my mistake, but the backside of my house, it's on my list of things to do, but my list is really long and it kind of prioritizes and it's not on the priority. But I didn't ever put gutters on the back of my house, okay? I have them sitting there, but they never got put on, okay? It's just one of those things. But what happened is all the rain come down and it washed the poly sand out, okay? And it allowed all kinds of seeds to start taking root, okay? Now, most of them, because it's in sand, most of them just pull out real easy. But you know what does not pull out? These. They do the same thing. They break off even though they're in sand, okay? And if we're not careful, we let something that somebody at church said or something that somebody at church is doing, if we're not careful, we let those seeds, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, the sower sowing the seed for the gospel. Well, there's also a lot of other seeds out there, folks. There's a lot of other seed out there. One thing that has always baffled me, and, you know, God bless you if you love finches. Why in the world do we sell thistle seed? That is the most retarded thing ever, okay? I hate thistles. So why do I sell, you know, 50-pound bags of thistle seed? Why? All right? All we have now is thistles in our pasture, okay? But what happens with all that? Those seeds, sorry if you like finches and buy thistle seed, okay? God bless you, but I hate them, all right? But all those thistle seeds, it's like Johnson grass, okay? Johnson grass is terribly hard to kill. Where did Johnson grass come from? Oh, let's make it an ornamental. You know, most of our invasive species is because somebody thought they were pretty. Let's put them over here. Now we've got, Johnson grass taken over everywhere. Why? Because of a little seed that got planted someplace. And if you're not careful, you'll let little seeds of, like I said, it's maybe a legitimate concern. It may be a legitimate thing, but we let those little seeds get planted. And then if we're not careful, those little seeds start growing. And we just kind of harbor them, all right? Colossians, not Ephesians. I got one in Ephesians 2. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse 19. Colossians Colossians 3:19, the Bible says, husbands, this is directing towards, you know, family relationships. Husbands, love your wives and be not, what? Bitter against them. And you say, Brother Chad, where does bitterness come from? I think, like I said, I think bitterness is honestly usually the result of a legitimate, and that's why it's so hard to get rid of. Because we always come back to that legitimate problem. Okay, now, regardless, we've been letting the root grow for 20 years. And so now you've got this, not dandelion, you've got this oak tree, right, of bitterness in your life, and it's affecting every area of our lives. But when it really boils down to it, we can come back to this one thing that somebody did wrong. Okay? And that's why it's so hard to get rid of, because it's like, well, they just, okay, I was listening, my wife, she's been not feeling well. So how many's ever seen that? This is terrible. I hate talking about shows, but it's about hoarders, like people that hoard stuff. And, you know, they got like a video of their house and like you cannot literally walk through it. You listen to those people talk, okay? And I think the question is probably presented to them, why are you a hoarder? I think that's, well, you see. And they go way back into their childhood of some injustice that was done to them back in their childhood or whatever. And they want to go all the way back to this spot, okay? And that's made them who they are today, all right? Bitterness is the same way. We hold on to it, and we're so angry and we're so upset at maybe a person or, you know, your family or whatever because, well, they didn't show up at my birthday party when I was 5. Okay, well, maybe your dad should have been at your birthday party when he was 5, when you were 5. But is that, okay, maybe it was legitimate. Like I said, maybe it's legitimate. But why is that something that you're going to carry for the rest of your life and hate your father for? Does that make sense? Okay. The Bible says here, husbands, love your wives and be not, what? Bitter against them. Okay. And if we're not careful, I think guys, you know, I mean, we have these things that we expect of our wives. You know, you come home from work and you expect something to be done, right? And I think a lot of bitterness is unfulfilled expectations. It's something that you wanted, that you desired, but because it wasn't fulfilled, it's that nagging thing that you never can quite get over. All right? Does that make sense? All right? So, you say, Brother Chad, where is these roots of bitterness come from? Okay? I think the root of bitterness, honestly, it boils down to kind of you're focused on the wrong thing. All right? You're focused on the wrong thing. Instead of looking at, okay, what about all the good things this person did? It's always, you come back to that one time they didn't show up. That one injustice that they did. And we hold on to it, 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 we hold on to it. And you know what happens when things are rooted? What happens with roots? They grow. Right? They grow, all right? I've got a light up here, and I use it for an illustration, okay? And it's been going on and off, which has annoyed the fire out of some of you, all right? Right? I knew it would. I've got a remote. It's annoyed the fire out of you. You know what happens? This is what happens, okay? And trust me, I do some maintenance in apartment buildings with older people, okay? They're sitting there watching their TV, right? And out of the corner of their eye, they see their light go off, okay? And so they're sitting there watching their TV, and then the light comes back on, and they're like, oh, you know, my light's blinking. So then they turn their chair just a little bit. Right? They're still watching TV, but they got, you know, a little more in their peripheral. And then their light goes off. And then they start watching the light. And you know what I get? I get phone calls for light bulbs being out. Okay? Now, like I said,
Is it a legitimate concern? Yes. Okay. But is it, you know, I talked about my list here of priorities. Is it on the top of my list of priorities to replace the light bulb there? No. It is not on the top of my list. But as they sit here, and this is, I'm being 100% honest with you. You know why young people, a blinking light bulb doesn't affect them quite as much as older people? Because they've got so many other things that they're focused on that the light bulb blinking on and off, I'll get to that. I'll fix that. Okay? But here's what bitterness is. Is it a legitimate concern? Yes, it needs fixed. Okay? And there's a lot of things in life that, yes, they need fixed. But is it worth, I have no joke. I've showed up at an apartment complex, and I walked in there, and they'll be like, Roadblock could probably tell you this, he's helped me some with them. They'll be like, we thought you quit. You haven't been here in 6 months. No. Correction. I haven't been to your apartment to change your light bulb in the last week. But you know what they perceive it as? You're never here. You're not here anymore. But here's the thing. They've sat here the last week watching the light bulb. Watching the light bulb. Like I said, is it a legitimate thing? Okay. But what happens is we kind of let that grow, and we kind of let that eat. People leave church all the time because of a light bulb. People leave church all the time because of a light bulb. People get divorces.
Okay, well, you say, what? This baffles me. You know, you'll hear about somebody's been married for 40 years and they get divorced. You know ultimately what that is? It's a light bulb. That somebody didn't get, okay, does it need fixed? Now, obviously this one's fine. I'm just tricking you. All right, but does it need fixed?
Yes. And we've got to go back to that seed, okay? Instead of letting this compound and compound and compound and compound until it's,
bless God, I can't live with her anymore. Okay, well maybe she didn't give you what you needed when you needed it. But is that worth leaving it all? Okay, is that worth hating, you know, I mean literally, I've gone to nursing homes and the people, they have such an anger towards family or whatever. They're so angry about it. And they're like, well, it's because of, I'm not trying to minimize what happens, but it's because of the light bulb. Well, I was mistreated as a child. And so now you're 80 years old. And you hate everyone around you because somebody did something wrong. Okay? You know, the Bible says, forgive others as Christ forgave you. Christ for God's sake, or God for Christ's sake, excuse me, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay? We've done a lot of wrong, but God's for some reason still saw fit to forgive us. Okay? Well, they never asked for forgiveness. Okay. All right. So you're going to carry that, or I'm going to carry that for the rest of my life because, well, they did wrong and they've never asked me for forgiveness. And so you'll leave a church. You'll have marriage problems. All right. Because you didn't communicate here that problem. All right. And listen, folks, we can let a little light bulb incident not just grow into a dandelion, we can let it control our lives. And then every time somebody says something, well, they meant something else by that. No, they didn't. They didn't shake my hand at church. How many other people did not shake your hand at church? But all you can think about is the one person that did not shake your hand at church. Well, they just don't like me. Do you really think? I'm sorry, excuse me. Do you really think that it is that important that everyone has to stop what they're doing to change your light bulb? Yeah, but Brother Chad, you don't really know what... You're right. But is it as big as what you are making it out to be? Because I promise you, if I sat here, you know, me and my little remote, I actually was going to do it in one of these lights, but I couldn't find the right socket to do it. If I sat here and put one of these lights in this, and the whole time, Brother Nick, it would be hilarious because you would all know what's going on. The whole time he's preaching, you know, click, 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 click. Right? It would drive you nuts. And everything that he is saying, every time, think about this, every time the light blinks, are you going to get anything out of what is going on up here? The truth of the matter is, no. It was 5 seconds before it blinked that time. Somebody ought to fix that light bulb. Don't we have a guy that we hire around here to fix things like that? Well, he's just not doing his job. Meanwhile, the word of God is being preached, and we've lost it all. And so many times in life, there's so many bigger things, but because of the light bulb, we can't focus on it. What are you looking at? What are we looking at? Okay, but Brother Chad, you don't understand. I know, I don't. I'm sure it was wrong. But are we going to live our lives looking at the light bulb that's blinking on and off and then letting it grow into a monstrosity? Or are we just going to, all right, focus on something different? There's bigger things afoot here than the light bulb. Now, if you're a senior saint and you need, this is the sub-message, all right? If you are a senior saint and you need a light bulb changed, you are welcome to call me. But I probably won't do it in the next 30 minutes. Well, Brother Chad just forgot about me. He doesn't like me. He didn't show up. And then every time I shake your hand, well, he meant something else by that. I'm sorry. I really am. But what are we focusing on? And you know what? You know why I studied this out? I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Because there was some stuff in my heart that I was focusing on the wrong thing. Okay? It happens to my age. It happens to older folks. It happens to teenagers. But it's still, what are you focusing on? What are you looking at? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity you gave us to come to your house. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us, myself mostly, with this thought of bitterness. And God, I pray that we wouldn't let the seed even get started. Lord, help us just to address the situation to start with. And Lord, I pray that we would focus on the right things. And Lord, Job had plenty of things that he could have focused on. But Lord, I pray that we would do what's right. We would focus on the correct things. Lord, I pray that we would let any root of bitterness leave our hearts, Lord, and just be forgiving as you forgave us. In Jesus' name, amen.